Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
You know, they say things can't ever change, Mike Harmon. If you're doing one thing for so long, it's never going to change. That is not true. I just watched Francisco Lindor hit a home run
with the
New York Mets. He just hit a home run. And not like it was a video of a home run when he played with Cleveland and they put the Mets uniform on him.
Sure.
No. Francisco Lindor just hit a home run for the Mets to tie the game with the Diamondbacks. He is now hitting 177.
Well, like the old paint jobs they did on trading cards back in the day. Now you could digitally put a uniform on him. Back then it was, hey, get an artist to kind of paint something that looks like a Mets jersey on him. Look, I just watched the Bulls on national television embarrass the Boston Celtics. So not only were the Bulls on national television, they embarrassed the Boston Celtics. That was crazy.
it's a big night for both of us.
That was insane, man.
Things could be changing. Things are changing for me right now.
Well, and we get to follow the Knicks live and in living color because they're getting ready to start. We've got the Lakers against the Blazers, who actually have fans in attendance after all the players raised their hand and said, hey, what the hell's going on here? Good things.
This is a loser leave town match with the Lakers and Blazers. I mean, that's what tonight is. I mean, this is what it's built up to be. This is one of those old WWF, and you lose, and we never see you again.
We cut your hair, and then you have to leave town. Let's go!
Exactly.
In other words, we'd already had the leak of the guy signing a contract with a different promotion or deciding he needed 6 months in Japan or whatever to go make some cash, whatever the case, or a surgery. But here we are, man. Big Friday night. So much swirling about. Excited to be here.
How long do I need to leave town for? Just a few months. It's good. You go do your thing, and right, you go, and then you come back, and maybe you have a mask on, or you know, who knows? But you come back.
Well, now you're part of what were they? The Great Destroyers or the Super Destroyers? I think it was the Super Destroyers.
Oh yeah. You're gonna
put the masks on Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
Listen, you're gonna go wrestle in the ECW now for like 6 months, and then you're gonna come back to us. That's how it's gonna work. Loser leave town for the Lakers and Blazers tonight. And clearly, look, there are two big marquee games on the slate tonight, right? Knicks and the Suns. That's gonna start in a couple minutes, and the Lakers and the Blazers. And obviously, the Lakers Blazers are a very big deal because we could watch the defending champions fall out of the top six for the first time all season. Likely that is going to happen. Anthony Davis is going to play. LeBron James is not going to play. And this is where things have gotten really weird in the last 24 hours. So last night, following the Lakers' loss a night ago, it was very shocking to see the post-game report and see Lakers head coach Frank Vogel say, LeBron's not been with the team the last couple of games, and everybody's thinking, okay, well, he's been injured, he's not been there. Why has he not been there? And Frank Vogel said, he's just not here. Well, is it injury-related? No. So you had Frank Vogel, head coach of the Lakers, say it is not injury-related why LeBron James is not with the team. This has kind of turned into a thing. It happened very late on the last hour of our show last night. It was a very big deal. We talked about it, and then we get the statement from the Lakers. I said, well, we allowed him to be away from the team to rest his injury. Okay, that would be being away from the team because of an injury. And Frank Vogel said, no, not because of an injury. All right, now, there is something going on with LeBron and the Lakers that's a really big deal. There is something big happening right now that we just don't know about. There's something between the sides. It's a LeBron versus the Lakers kind of situation where something is up where he's not with the team. It's you're coming down the stretch for, you know, to stay in the top six or you get ready for your title defense, and LeBron's not around, and the head coach doesn't defend LeBron James and say everything is fine. Yeah, he was allowed to be away from the team. They could have made an excuse for him. They could easily have said, yeah, look, we're giving LeBron away so he can rest his injury. Now, this is something where it is LeBron versus the Lakers. Is it LeBron versus Frank Vogel? Is it LeBron versus the front office? It's something that we're going to find out. because that's exactly what's happening right now. There is too much weirdness going on around the Lakers for it not to be something big. Now, is this something that we might know by the weekend, by Monday? I guarantee you all the NBA insiders are in on what's happening right now, trying to figure this out. Woj and Shams and everybody else is trying to go, okay, why is LeBron not around the team? Why is there this secrecy happening with LeBron James? I mean it. It's something up that's big that we just don't know about yet, and it could be many things, right? I mean, it could be a situation of LeBron and his teammates. It could be LeBron just needs time away, you know, Kyrie Irving personal time, you know, like Kyrie's had early this year. But something is up really big with the Lakers, because this wouldn't be a thing, and it shouldn't be a thing this close to the playoffs. If it was this in the middle of the season, LeBron was away, he needed some load management time, okay, I kind of get that. But, you know, he's been away from the team for a bit when he was rehabbing his injury, and he came back and he dinged it up a little bit, and now he's not playing. Something is up that we don't know about that we will find out sometime very shortly, I guarantee you.
No, it's a curiosity, and obviously I was referring to the machines. The Super Destroyers were just prelim bums that wore masks. But Bobby Heenan, you know, had all those guys in masks at different times, all the stars that were, quote, suspended or whatever. The LeBron James tweet, though, from 8:45 this morning, why does everybody assume that has anything to do with Space Jam 2? Is where I'm raising my hand. It's all fun and games until the bunny got the gun. It could be.
It could be Space
Could
Jam.
Be completely something else, right?
Yeah, could be.
In terms
yeah.
of power and authority and all of those kind of things. So LeBron, who's used his social media for non-sports quite a bit over this last, well, multiple years, but certainly this year in particular. So is it something there? But related to the team itself, yeah, Frank Vogel looked like a deer in the headlights when that question went up. Started shifting in his seat. And you and I, as professional radio hosts, we are also professional body language experts. That's what you become. You get a diploma as soon as you sign on for your first air shift to be able to do such things and speculate across the vast Fox Sports Radio network. So, yeah, there's something else there. Is he now upset with what the supporting cast is? Is he now angry and part of it was lashing out against the play-in games? There's something with the schedule and everything behind the scenes that he's fighting, not only internally but also, you know, shouting back to the commissioner, because that's the first time he's gone after Adam Silver.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yep. The commissioner's office and the, you know, kind of a declaration of, you know, this is a screw job and whatever else. And again, you all agreed to it. And the owners all agreed to it. And we've known in the history, if it wasn't working for the players, especially if LeBron was vocal and made the call to the bat phone, that it wouldn't happen and it wouldn't go forward. And this time, because of the success last year and the bubble and everything that worked out, it stays. Right? Interest down the stretch, no tanking, everybody battling through. Even if you're on the outs, you're still getting a pretty good effort from most of these teams each night. Look at where some of the bottom feeders have had some pretty good runs as their young talent gets more playing time. I know we jokingly talked about the T-Wolves a little bit last week, but as soon as they let Edwards start playing in the fourth quarter, lo and behold, look, they started getting some wins. And it's fun down the stretch, and that's another name we'll be talking about for the next 15 years. So it's all fine and good, but, you know, is it part of that product? The back-to-backs, the 72-game condensed schedule, all of it plays, and now it becomes the, all right, tap every source and anybody you've ever talked to around that team, because there's something cooking.
Well, that's the thing. If that was it, right, and those are all good things you brought up, I could see that being something. But that's a middle of the season, like, hey, I'm taking a personal stand against this. That's sure. Not something where at the end of the year you say, hey, yeah, look, I know we're fighting for our, quote, playoff lives here, and we potentially could be in the play-in round, and I don't know if that's where we want to be, but that could happen to us. But I really don't like the whole play-in thing, so I'm going to sit. I'm going to not play. I don't know that that would be it. It wouldn't be something league-oriented, because if it was league-oriented, he would know when the time is for that. You know, the time to strike on that is not with five games left in the regular season and your team is really a mess right now. So that's why
it's a misdirection.
Yeah,
it's right. It's an issue, but it distracts from whatever else is going on.
It really is, and this takes you back to the earlier parts of LeBron's career. And it's not like you can say, well, this is completely unprecedented. I mean, how many times do we see LeBron early in his career? The first finals with the Heat and the Mavericks, when he suddenly just stopped playing midway through the finals and didn't take shots and didn't take shots in clutch moments. And it was, what are you doing playing hot potato with the basketball? What, that didn't make any sense. How many times did we see it with the Cavaliers when you get to the Eastern Conference Finals? Where's LeBron stepping up? Where's LeBron in the fourth quarter when he has disappeared? He has done this. He has done this before, and for whatever reason, he would have to do that. Earlier on, I thought, okay, well, he's grown out of it now. But now I wonder, is that back? I mean, is it back? Is he now that he's, you know, he's older and he's done everything he's wanted to do? Is it back now? And hey, you know what? I'm backing away. Why? This is the worst time to do it. Yeah, I know, but still, why are you doing it? Eh, I've done it before. Okay, sure, LeBron. That's what I don't get about this is that we've seen it before. We've seen it happen, and he knows that there's a big deal going on right now about what he is not being with the Lakers, right? He knows that was a big deal coming off last night. And potentially the only time he's addressed anything is that tweet this morning that everybody was thinking might be Space Jam. I mean, why is LeBron not out saying, yeah, hey, everything is cool? No, everything is
good. Why
wouldn't
you have a picture of Bugs Bunny or something? Someone would have crafted him a little emoji actually looked like Bugs or had the Warner Brothers logo or something.
I'm sure he's allowed to put out, you know, a still from the movie. You know, promotion of the movie, right? If anybody can do it. I mean, I why would he not say he knows it's a story? Why would he not just say, hey, y'all, I'm fine. You know, like, well, yeah, I'm cool. I'm resting. I'm ready. I'll be back at it on Monday. Why would he not do something like that? Why would he not try to tamp that down? That's why. I mean, LeBron versus the Lakers has taken many forms in the last few years. When he first signed, it was, you know, I'm the most important person on this team, and I'm going to show you I'm the most important person on this team. And I'm going to barely acknowledge Magic Johnson. I'm not going to show up in the city until I absolutely have to. I'm not going to talk to the media until I absolutely have to, because everybody's on my time now. Okay, all right. Look, you know, now here's LeBron, and Clutch Sports is trying to take over the Lakers as we're going to sign the players and keep the players at her in Clutch Sports. There has been LeBron versus the Lakers for a while now, and this is just another part of it. Now, what it is, I mean, I'm waiting for it, but there's too much smoke and there's too much stuff going around with the team that's just weird. And Frank Vogel, I look at it as, hey, Frank Vogel, it seemed like last night he just had enough. Whatever, to be at the point where I'm not going to stand up for LeBron and protect him and just say he's away from the team. And if he was away from the team for a legitimate personal reason or business reason, he would have said so. He would have said, listen, LeBron's away from the team. It's all good. He's got permission. We've talked. It's all good. He just said he's not with the team. Well, is it injury related? No, it's not. There's something has to happen where Frank Vogel had to be at the end of his rope to be able to say that in a post-game press conference. To say, you know, and not just say, it's all good, we're keeping this all in-house, LeBron is fine. Something have had to be. So that's why I go back to LeBron versus the Lakers, because we've seen it before. And we've seen erratic behavior from LeBron James at different times and seasons. I don't want to say erratic. We have seen a different and strange kind of behavior from LeBron James that doesn't really feed into, this is not really how athletes deal with this moment X at this point in the season. So that's why I look at this and I go, that's kind of what I see. I mean, I see this happening again.
Yeah, this is interesting. Again, we looked at that Vogel thing in Living Color, Live and in Living Color, and immediately coming after a quick break, it was, all right, we've watched it a couple times. My God. And 24 hours later, you know, we can get excited about the fact that Anthony Davis is going tonight. I broke out some streamers and one of those little horns that I can go beep, like you would on New Year's Eve. Exactly. Well, I mean, okay. You can't see him because LeBron's not there. He's taking a page out of John Cena's book, Mr. Invisible. No, I mean, yeah, there it is. And maybe he'll show up to the playoffs, and that'll be playing in the background. Hey, look, I came back. But right now, we've got some chaos here. You thought it was bad that the Dodgers had a bunch of injuries and guys weren't hitting? No. Hold my beer.
There is something with the Lakers that we're just not being told. Trust me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
tonight we had baseball history, and now you and I are going to get into it over what a no-hitter means. We almost had two tonight. Sean Manaea of the A's had a no-hitter going to the eighth inning. It got broken up. It would have been the second no-hitter of the night because the Reds' Wade Miley threw a clean slate at the Cleveland club. Yes, I just gave you that line from Eight Men Out. 3-0. Here's the final out of the gym.
Yes!
For Wade Miley.
Luplo 0-3 tonight with a couple of strikeouts. Here's the 1-1. Swing, a weak grounder to short. Farmer in, he has it to first, and that's it! A no-hitter for Wade Miley! The 17th no-hitter in Reds history! And the first for the veteran left-hander.
So there it is, Reds Radio Network, Wade Miley with the no-hitter. 3-0 is your final score. He was back out in the ninth inning after throwing 106 pitches. We said, look, David Bell's got to bring him out. He brings him out, and it goes bang, bang, bang. He's got a no-hitter. And here's how times have changed, right? You want to talk about the importance of a no-hitter now in the sports world. We have always seen no-hitters, right? But we're in the age of the pitcher now, and clearly we've already seen a few. They've seen three so far this season. And Major League Baseball wants to kind of stop that because we don't like pitching well. Pitching well doesn't mean good ratings. We like runs. But it's more than that about how baseball likes a no-hitter. When I remember when I first started doing radio, right? When I first started doing radio, I'm going back, you know, about 17, 18 years. I'm in, you know, 2000, 2003-ish when I'm doing it, you know, every day. And when somebody pitched a no-hitter, like, everything stopped. And that was the story.
No, that's right. It took over everything.
Right?
Absolutely.
It didn't matter what was going on. Because, look, I've always done nights in my career. I love doing nights. I love the energy of doing nights and the fact that there's games going on and we're reflecting on what's happening. It's fun. It's a big adrenaline rush. And I always did nights. So always I was on the air when a no-hitter came in. And it didn't matter if it was a big pitcher, like a, you know, like a Randy Johnson or something, or if it was a Philip Humber who was throwing a no-hitter a perfect
legend.
Game. Like when that happened, everything stopped. And it was, this is a no-hitter, and this is the story. And it's the lead story on SportsCenter. It's everywhere on the internet. It's the story. It's the big breaking news banner. So-and-so has a no-hitter, and everything becomes about it. And you read about the guy the next day, and you read about his life, and you read about everything that happened. You read about who he had at the ballpark with him. And there were so many things. You couldn't get enough stats. And it was always, for me, the most paranoid night I would have. Because it would be, look, I always loved adjusting to breaking news.
Mm-hmm. But of course, we do that better than anybody in this business.
Exactly.
There's no question about it.
We do big moments.
That's the hallmark of this show. We do big moments.
But when it came to no hitters, I was always saying, oh my God, now I got to do 2.5 hours on this story. And it's a pitcher that nobody knows, but it's a big story, so we kind of have to do it. And I would just get paranoid about, how am I going to talk about 2.5 hours about this guy? I mean, how can I do it? Can I talk 2.5 hours about Dallas Braden pitching a no-hitter? Can I really do that? But I'm going to
have to. Well, he was quirky enough that you could at least get a little bit of office personality.
It was, but still it was everything you talked about.
And no, but now, that was the expectation. You're absolutely right. Because it occurred enough, right? Because we've got over 300 of them, right, in the lexicon and in the history of Major League Baseball. But when we're starting to get guys working deep into the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, seemingly on a nightly basis, we've already got three this year. Yeah, you're doing a little hand wringing, going, yeah, does it still have the same juice that it wants to? Like me as a baseball fan, yeah, it does. But for sports talk radio, it's like, yeah, it's another one.
Yeah, like when Edwin Jackson pitched a no-hitter we got to talk about Edwin Jackson, right? When Ubaldo Jimenez pitched, we got to talk about Ubaldo Jimenez. I mean, how are we going to do this? I mean, really? When Clay Buchholz pitched a no-hitter, we got to talk about Clay Buchholz. I mean, how do we do it? I mean, I'm sorry, four no-hitters this year. So it's gone from the fact that it's not just about this year being, you know, because now the big debate's going to be how big a deal is a no-hitter. But it's gone from being that kind of story about 15 years ago to now it's, hey, a guy pitched a no-hitter, and it's just one of many stories. Like what's going on with the Lakers and the Blazers is just as big a story, if not bigger, right? Knicks and the Suns, just as big a story, if not bigger. The potential potential that there could have been a fight between Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil, which we'll get to in about 10 minutes. I mean, that's going to be a bigger story than the no-hitter.
Right.
So it's kind of no-hitters now are like, you know, we've seen them a lot, and maybe because we've gotten so many of them in the past few years, the coverage of them is, okay, we realize we don't need to – the demand is there. People don't need to know every single thing about it. So it's a story you can do and then move on from. I mean,
otherwise we'd be breaking down all the big defensive plays. We'd be talking about some of the history of a team, like the fact that Cleveland's now been no hit twice this year.
Yeah,
and by the way, there's five because Baumgartner got screwed. No, so there should be five. But you've got Musgrove going all the way back to April 9th, and then Rodon against the Indians. Musgrove's came against the Rangers. John Means, that huge story that we did the other night as the Orioles. First one since the hirsute Jim Palmer pitched one back in 1969 as an individual. And then, obviously, Wade Miley tonight. I mean, it's happening so frequently. It's another day in baseball with the three outcome worlds. So I can understand why there'd be some nervousness.
You know, and now that you see no hitters in that frame now, that it's no longer the big story, the big 2.5, hey, we got to do the whole show on this. So I guarantee you, all the shows on Fox Sports Radio tomorrow, maybe they mention it. But probably not. I mean, they're on to other things, right? This weekend, we're on to the NBA and other baseball and Aaron. What happens with Aaron Rodgers? What former teammate says Aaron is struggling with staying in Green Bay? I mean, what we're going to hear Donald Driver is going to start saying things. We're going to hear Greg Jennings.
Well, maybe Amon Green, yeah. Yeah, I mean, one guy after the next.
What former Green Bay backer is going to say Aaron Rodgers is struggling? I mean, that's going to be what the shows
Robert
are.
Robert Brooks.
Oh, I don't think – did Robert Brooks ever play with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think so, but he's due to pipe up anyway.
That's still pretty good. Antonio Freeman would weigh in, I'm sure.
Oh, nicely done.
But
now I want to look up the career of Robert Brooks. he was there. He was done in 2000. Never mind.
He gave me one of my best fantasy football wins of all time when he caught that 99-yard touchdown pass on Monday Night Football. Oh, that was such a huge win. I was like, oh, my God, I won. Oh, my God, I won.
Monday Night Football, man. There's nothing better than vanquishing a fantasy foe and texting him and saying, thank you.
Because going in, I'm like, I need 100 yards and a touchdown from Robert Brooks. It's not impossible, but, boy, it's going to be tough. And then this third play of the game, he's got a 99-yard touchdown. I'm like, yeah, Robert Brooks. So I ask you, like, how big a deal is a no-hitter now? I mean, when you hear about a no-hitter in Major League Baseball, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being you know, people just blow by it, and with 10 being it's so important, it used to be a 10, and now it's only even something that's relevant unless it's a huge player who did it. Like if Jacob DeGrom did it, or, you know, one of the big starting pitchers, and we can talk about their place and are they the best pitcher in baseball, all these things. Or if you have controversy alongside it, whether there's a bad umpiring call or there's someone tried to bunt to break it up, unless there's some kind of controversy with it. Unless there's some kind of controversy with it, a no-hitter is like an hour after it's done, it's like it's done. You know, it's over. It's like it's down to a 2 or a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, which I feel bad. Look, someone like Wade Miley, he's gonna this is gonna be the night he remembers the rest of his baseball career, the rest of his life. He's gonna think about this night every day for the rest of his life. But when it comes to, you know, the national scope of no hitters, unless it's that there's something really big with it, you gotta have something special. It's like a 2 or a 3, and an hour after it's done, it just goes into the roster of here's what happened tonight. Right? It's great when the immediate thing happens. But then it just goes into, hey, yeah, Wade Miley had a no-hitter. What's next? What are we on to next? What are we breaking down next?
It just sucks because that's the case. Because you look at the no-hitters, just take the 2021 ones that count, right? And I'll put Baumgartner over there. Look, he's got a lot of awards. He's got a lot of hardware. And he's got a lot of cash. So nobody's crying for him. But in the end, every inscription you can add at an autograph signing is always fun. But when you look at the stories of all these guys, that's where it gets fun, Jason, and it doesn't get lost completely, certainly for you and I, because a lot of them fall on our watch. it's the blessing that we have being here as the East Coast games and the West Coast games are ongoing, and with Steve DeSager and Lee DeLapp and Alex Teichert and our team, the editors in the back of the room there at Fox Sports Radio, that we can bring the good. And obviously with Major League Baseball, you can't play any sound until the games are done. But it's still the point of, you know, painting the picture with our words and excitement, because at the heart of it, what makes us good at our job and what gives us the job in general is our fandom, right? That's what brought us to want to do this. And when you have the passion that we do for this, it doesn't matter who it is. But the stories of all the guys in their roads, particularly the last three guys, like Wade Miley, at this point, he's a journeyman kind of guy, right? 500 pitcher, been in the league a decade plus. John Means, we talked about it for the Orioles, guy that put up a LinkedIn page and was going to be a sub-teacher, and now he's pitching a no-hitter against the Mariners. Carlos Rodon of the White Sox, personally, obviously, everybody that listens to the show knows my Chicago love and that the White Sox are my squad. I think I have like 9 different hats, and the Baines jersey hangs proudly alongside a very old Maglio Ordonez one as well, a hero. I still need a Canerico, though, although since he told Frostburg to beat it after that birthday greeting, you know, it's kind of tough, man. You know, he told the show to beat it. And then Musgrove at the start of the year, just because of the hype of the Padres. Like, there's all these great narratives that flow over, and maybe they get buckled under because we see so many games going into the 7th or 8th inning as no hitters. But you know what? I'm still going to celebrate them. So you could take it down to a 2 or a 3. I'm still going to go to a hard 7 on this one.
Twitter at how about a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. Look at you on the hard 7.
Well, or a hard 8, just so I can get some, you know, craps and dice shooting in on a Friday night. How about that?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It is now time to talk about rats and raccoons.
Rats.
I mean, as big a story as the Wade Miley no-hitter was, this baseball story is actually bigger. You know, and look, and this is part when you talk about star power, because when we talk about no-hitters a few minutes ago not meaning as much as they did, because we see a lot of them, you know, does it merit constant coverage like it did 10 and 15 years ago? It doesn't. But part of it's also star power. You know, if there's a controversy about a no-hitter, hey, it's a big deal. It's a big talking point. But if it's not a star player, that's where we're a star-driven society now. And if it doesn't happen with a star, it's kind of hard to have any legs on it. So you got to be a star to be able to cut through the clutter where there's so many stories and information and things coming at you every 5 seconds. You have to be a star. And so this is why when you have Wade Miley versus Francisco Lindor, Francisco Lindor wins out. Now, why are we talking about Francisco Lindor and rats and raccoons? This is a so totally Met story. This is
let's
like
go.
This is a Hall of Fame
Met
so totally
you.
Met story. This is I can't. Okay, so in the middle of the game tonight, there seemed to be a skirmish in the hallway to the clubhouse. Mets players ran, coming off the field after a half inning, running into the tunnel to see what was going on because something was happening. Here's what it sounded like when it occurred.
Smith and Conforto ran down, so did VR.
So something happened down that tunnel. We have no idea, but obviously it drew the attention of everybody in that dugout. And we cannot speculate on what it might be.
So this was during the 7th inning stretch after coming off the field. Now, there was a little bit of a confusion on a play earlier on a grounder between McNeil and Lindor. And you see the players run into the clubhouse, run into the tunnel, and Conforto comes out looking like, oh, man. Like the look on his face is, oh, man, I can't believe that. Like, there's no laughing. There's no giggling. It's just, oh, man. So he comes out, and everybody wants to know what that is. What happened? And then it starts breaking, because when they saw the people coming out of the clubhouse, that Jeff McNeil, Mets second baseman, and Francisco Lindor got into some kind of dust-up or fight in the walkway to the clubhouse. So, of course, after the Mets win in walk-off style on the big walk-off fielder's choice, you know, that's all anybody wanted to talk about on the post-game Zoom. So when Francisco Lindor comes out, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get this story now. But instead of saying, hey, you know, we disagreed, but everything is fine. No, no, no. This is the story we get from Francisco Lindor.
I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who were you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Do you believe me? Does everybody believe me that I thought it was a rat? It was a raccoon? You guys believe
That's
me?
That's a good sell job, though. That is fantastic. That is the greatest excuse. Because, look, we long have had baseball players try to cover up inane and just absurd injuries in the off seasons, right? And some of the stuff they do. Because have you ever seen a Major League Baseball contract?
Yes, I haven't seen one recently, but I've seen the pages and pages that it is, yes.
Yeah, so, like, for those unaware, you're talking about, on some of these, 8 to 10 pages of activities separated only by a comma. Not on, you know, single line. No, this is just, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And everything else you might possibly want to do other than watching TV and having someone serve you dinner, we would still suggest that someone else cut your steak, given some of the injuries in the past. Thank you. Please sign here. That's what a Major League Baseball contract is, right? All of those different things. And we, how many times have we had the, yeah, he's lying? It's kind of like the Juwan Jones story we talked about with Jason Cole a little bit. Was he really working out? Was he doing something else, right? Was he playing some grab ass? The world may never know. But here, nobody's buying this.
It was a rat or a raccoon.
Nobody's buying this. They put a good face on it, but no.
I look at the story and I go, if a teenager came in and gave an excuse, they would have more believable things. They would have more believable things. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's a more believable story. I mean, okay, quick aside before we get to what Jeff McNeil said.
Yeah.
I went to a party in high school at my friend's house, and it was one of those, you know, weekend parties. His parents were away, so he had parties in the house. And if Zoe is listening somewhere in the house right now, that can never happen. We're never going away. All right, so we have a party. And girl came to the party. It was in our class, friends. We were friends with. And she parallel parked the car, and she hit a fire hydrant. And so she, of course, she, you know, crumpled the back of the car, and she comes in the house, and she's just all tears going, oh, my God, I just wrecked the car, all this stuff. And we're like, do you want to go home? No, I don't know. And, of course, this becomes the whole drama of the night, right? This is the whole drama of the night. And you know, so we're watching this. And at some point, because I was never in for the drama in high school, I'm like, okay, I've sat here for a half hour listening to this. I'm going to go talk to other people, right? There's got to be other fans. There's got to be some girls I want to go talk to more than try to figure this out. So they came up with the idea at the end that this was what it was. So one of the guys of the party said, I got it. So this is what her and a couple people decided. One of our guys wrote a note on the car, to leave it on the car, that said, I'm sorry I hit your car. I have no insurance. Here's $100. And they went, they tried to go around the party getting people to pony up money to put in a envelope to leave on the window. And I'm like, I remember they came up to me and said, do you have, I said, yeah, I have $5 for what? And they say, oh, this is what we're doing. I go, you think this is going to work? I mean, I'm 17 and I know that this idea isn't going to work. I know it's not going to work. I know it's not. So I'm like, this is just, what are you going to do? You have all these crumpled up bills. Someone's putting it like they left a strip club and they just, here's money. I have no insurance, but I have $100. Well, what are you trying to do? So then I think that idea kind of went out the window. And then when we asked what happened on Monday, she goes, oh, I'm in so much trouble. My parents knew I lied to them. I go, and we're like, what happened? And she said, oh, I told told them that I, you know, somebody hit the car and I didn't come home until like, you know, 2:33 in the morning because I went to get an estimate at a garage. And I'm like, they didn't believe you? I go, is there a garage open at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning? I mean, what is it, Adventures in Babysitting? And Vincent D'Onofrio is there fixing your car at 1 in the morning? I said, they go, no, they didn't think it was open. So, you know, I got in trouble. I'm like, oh, my goodness. The ideas that people think people believe in life, it's amazing. Really? It's a rat or a raccoon? Seriously, Francisco Lindor? Now, nobody believed this. The Mets beat writers are all going, Lindor is sticking with the rat and raccoon story. Okay. So then Jeff McNeil, who wasn't going to come out, but now they said, dude, you have to come out. This is a thing now. You got to come out and talk about this. So Jeff McNeil comes out. Look, Jeff McNeil's a great hitter. Not exciting at all, right? He's, when you talk to the guy, not an exciting guy.
Sure.
He's one of those straight-laced guys. Yeah, here you go. This is what's going on. So they asked Jeff McNeil, dude, did you get in a fight with Francisco or what happened in the dugout? He said you were disagreeing over whether it was a rat or a raccoon. You guys saw, and here's Jeff McNeil.
Why should people believe that story?
You know, we just like to have fun, and you know, the rats in, you know, New York are things. So, you know, he thought he saw that, and you know, I saw what I saw, and you know, that's just the way it is.
Are you okay with people not believing that?
They can believe whatever they want. You know, we're you know, a tight-knit group. You know, everybody loves everybody. And, you know, it's just a, you know, great group of guys, great clubhouse. You know, we have a lot of fun and, you know, just a lot of positivity, you know, between, you know, this group.
Why not just say, yeah, it was a rat and a raccoon. Why, you guys don't believe me? Instead, listen, I'm going to brush this off and say, yeah, hey, we love each other. It's a great tight-knit group. You can believe what you want to believe. Oh, my goodness. This is totally Mets.
Do we now have to have Dominic Smith and the other guy, and Conforto and all those guys that ran into the tunnel confirm or deny this? Because they're not running down there just to see a rat and a raccoon. I'm sorry. You live in New York. You've seen them before.
Hey, guys, come down here and settle this debate because two of our fun-loving teammates don't know if they're seeing a rat or a raccoon. Oh, let me go down there. They ran in there.
Our
and
fun-loving
Conforto comes out. Look at the look on Conforto's face when he comes out.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Come on, there is a zero. I believe this story. There's a 0% chance that I believe this story. Zero. There's a less than zero chance that I believe this story.
Less than zero. Nicely done. One of your favorite movies of all time. But Steve Cohen did take to Twitter and he went trending when he said that was big after the Lindor home runs. So you got that. You got some positivity in between the what the hell is going on with these two guys?
Their stuff. I mean, really, this is like the first or the first chapter of the Mets book of 2021 is the, you know, Steve Cohen and here comes Lindor. They hire him and he stinks for the first month. And here's the rat versus the raccoon. I mean,
who's the rat? Who's the raccoon? 877-99 on Fox.
I could just. Lindor was the rat up until tonight, but then he had a home run. McNeil would have been the rat. Now he's the raccoon. Okay, so we got Lindor's
but,
the rat.
But how do you McNeil's not prep McNeil for his questioning?
Dude, can you go answer this question? What happened? Because Francisco told the story.
We all
about
love
you guys.
Each other.
And is the, he's winking at him going, Francisco told the story about how you guys saw the rat and the raccoon. So can you go tell the media that so we can all go home?
When
great,
I nod
thanks,
my head,
Jeff.
Mr. Thompson.
I think he's talking to you. I really, there is a 0%.
So bad.
I can just imagine, hey, this is going to be a thing. What do we say? Let's pretend we saw something. Well, it's New York. Hey, remember we saw that rat? Let's say it's a rat. What else could it be in there? I don't know, a raccoon? Yeah. Rat and a raccoon. Yeah. Wouldn't it be better if it was a cat? Because there's big cats. No. A cat doesn't look like a rat. It's going to be a rat. A raccoon sounds funnier. That sounds better. I like that. Rat versus a raccoon. Oh,
so
my goodness.
Awful.
This
so
is so
bad.
Totally Mets. That's so totally Mets. I mean, this
hey, but
is...
the Jets have a new quarterback, buddy.
Yeah, hey, I was happy about that. But he threw passes today. There was video of him. It was great. And look, I'm happy the Mets won tonight. And Lindor had a home run. And hey, all right.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put this behind them. Obviously, it's not something that's lingering because they both came out. They talked about it. And it's done. You know, in their world, it's done.
Sure,
but now,
it's done.
The best part is this story lives forever. I mean, this is like one of the best, most – this is like – Yoenis Cespedes buying the pig and then cooking it. You know,
a great story.
This is Cespedes. I'm hurt on my ranch when I was running away from a wild boar. I mean, this is one of those, hey, there's Met stories that live forever. This is that story. Remember the rat versus the raccoon? I can't believe Rat Raccoon isn't a Twitter handle right now. Let me see. Raccoon.
I'm working to build a graphic. I should have it done by the end of the weekend. I can test some of the stuff I've been trying to learn during the pandemic as to whether we can merchandise the Rat v. Raccoon. situation.
Marcus Stroman tweeted out, still not sure if it was a rat or a raccoon. However, great win for the squad. Hashtag Mets.
This is a poo-poo story, sir.
I mean, this is just absolutely
so
insane.
Bad.
I mean, look, I think the best thing to be on Twitter is someone starts a Twitter account as Mets Rat and someone starts a Twitter as Mets Raccoon, and they just go back and forth at each other with Mets insults like for the rest of the year.
This might be better than Captain Andrew Luck when it's all said and done.
Ooh, I don't know, man. Captain Andrew Luck was really good. I mean, this is a rat and a raccoon. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it could be if you get the right people running the Mets Rat and the Mets Raccoon Twitter, and that what they do is go back and they throw Mets insults at each other. I mean, this could be a pretty big deal. And so, patent pending. If you ever do that and it gets sponsored, I get 3% of that money. I mean, this could be a really big thing.
I think it blows up, and if nothing else, it just helps to obfuscate and diminish any of the ills you have going on. On the field. Yeah, let's just blow this up to the side. And it becomes a circus, and you can let people chase it. And hopefully Lindor and McNeil are legitimately okay with each other. Because if not, those are your two studs, man. That's going to be a problem.
Less than 0% chance, I believe, this story.